Mishnah Zayin. The halacha is that if a man dies, if he has children, then his children inherit him. If he does not have any children, then the next one in line is the man's father. If his father is still alive, then his father would inherit all of his property. Now, if the father is also not alive, then the next ones in line are the brothers of the man who died. So the Mishnah is going to discuss a case, at least right at the beginning, where the man who died, of course, didn't have any children, because we're discussing a case where there would be a mitzvah of Yibum. And as well as that, his father had also died before him. So, ha-chalitza levimtai, if one performs chalitza to his Yivama, then hari hu ke'echem in achna nachla, he is considered like one of all of the other brothers in terms of the inheritance. So if, let's say, there are five remaining brothers, they would all split the inheritance equally, and the brother who performed chalitza would receive an equal portion to everybody else. I might have thought that since he did chalitza, and he did something in order to not continue the legacy of his brother, I might have thought that perhaps he loses his share in the inheritance. But the Mishnah says, no, that is not the case. He's still considered a regular brother, and they all receive an equal share in the inheritance. V'im yesham av, however, if there is a father still alive, so then chasim shal av, all of the property goes to the father, because he has precedence in terms of taking the inheritance to his children. However, on the other hand, one who brings in, one who performs Yibum with his Yivama, Zochel ban Chosim shal Achiv, he gains possession of all of the property of his brother who had died, and none of the other brothers or the father get it. As we have mentioned a number of times, Yibum is an act of becoming in place of the man who died. And one of the ways in which this is manifested is in terms of inheritance, that he is the one to stand in place in terms of his possessions as well, and he becomes the owner of all that the previous husband of the Yavama owned. However, Rabbi Yehuda says, Bein kach uvein kach, whether he did chalitza or yibum, im yesh shom av l'chosim shel av. If the father of the man who died is still alive, then the father gets everything. And even though the Yavam did perform Yibum, Rabbi Yehuda learns from Pesukim that as long as the father is alive, the Yavam cannot inherit that property. The Torah calls the Yavam a Bechor, a firstborn. That's how we learn that ideally the mitzvah is upon the oldest Yavam. And so Rabbi Yehuda learns that just like a firstborn has unique laws when it comes to inheriting his father, however, all of that only starts once his father has died, then he receives double inheritance from his father after his father has died, so too a Yavam can only receive any inheritance once his father has died. And therefore, according to Yehuda, although if the father is dead, the Yavam would receive everything, if his father is still alive, then the father receives everything. Now, we have seen a couple of times already that midrabbanan, we view chalitza like gerushin, like a divorce. Until the Shemeres Yavam receives chalitza, she has a zika, a weak marital bond between the Yavam and the Shemeres Yavam, and because of that, she is forbidden midoraisa from marrying anybody else. And midrabbanan, we view that like a full marital bond, such that he is forbidden to marry her relatives, and she is forbidden to marry his relatives. Just like it's forbidden to marry one's wife or husband's relatives. And this applies also after chalitza, just like it applies after one divorces his wife. And because of that, ha-chalitza levimtai, one who performs chalitza with his yivama, who also becomes seha, he is forbidden to marry her relatives, whichever relatives would be forbidden in a case of a regular divorce. V'hi asur b'krevav, and she is forbidden to marry his relatives. So which relatives is that? Hu asur b'ima, he is forbidden to marry her mother, uve'im ima, and her mother's mother, uve'im aviha, and her father's mother, uve'vita, and her daughter from a different marriage, of course, because if it was from the marriage with the man who died, then there wouldn't be an obligation of yibum at all. So it must be that she had the daughter from a different husband. The obligation of yibum, of course, depends on whether the man had a child. The fact that she has a child makes no difference to whether there's going to be an obligation of yibum or not. And therefore there is an obligation of yibum or chalitza. And again, if he performs chalitza, then he would be forbidden to marry her daughter, uvas bita, or her daughter's daughter, uvas bana, or her son's daughter. All of these relatives in a case of a regular divorce would be forbidden midoraisa, and so in this case of chalitza would be forbidden midrabbanan. And the list continues, uva'achitza b'zman shikayemes, the chalutza's sister is forbidden as long as the chalutza is still alive. However, adds the Mishnah v'ha'achin, the brothers of the Yovam who performed Chalitza, Mutorin, they are permitted to marry the Chalutza's relatives. Even though, if you think about it, there is a Zika to all of the brothers until Chalitza or Yibam is performed. And by this Yovam performing Chalitza, he gets rid of the Zika from all of the brothers. So in a way, he's just considered to be the messenger of all of the brothers. So I would have perhaps thought that whoever the man who did Chalitza is forbidden to marry, the same would apply to all of the brothers. But the Mishnah is telling us that is not the case, especially since this is only Midrabanon, they only made this decree upon the one who actually did Chalitza, since that is the one who is similar to a man who divorces his wife. Alright, now she is also forbidden with his relatives. However, many of this list are actually marriages which are already forbidden, even without the fact that she is a chalutza. For example, v'hi asura ba'oviv. She is forbidden to marry the dead man, meaning her husband's father. Now that's forbidden mid'oraisa, because she is his daughter-in-law. The Mishnah is just giving the full list of which relatives she is forbidden to marry. Uva avioviv, and with her husband's father's father. Although that is not forbidden mid'oraisa, it's forbidden mid'yabonon as a secondary erva, what is known as an isra mitzvah, which are relatives who are a bit more distant than immediate relatives, so they are only forbidden mid'yabonon. But again, he is forbidden to marry her even without the fact that she is a chalutza. Just the fact that she was married to the man who died already forbids her. Now we're talking about her not marrying the relatives of the Yovam, the one who performed chalitza. It's just that these last two examples, the reason why it is already forbidden is because they are also related to her original husband. Alright, ubi benoi. And she is forbidden to marry the son of the Yovam who performed chalitza, because she is his father's brother's wife. And that is forbidden mid'oraisa. Uva ven benoi, and the grandson of the Yovam, the one who performed chalitza. And this case is now only because of the chalitza which was performed. If this was a case of divorce, then it would be forbidden mid'rabbonon as a secondary erva, because she is his grandfather's wife, his grandfather's divorcee. So in this case of chalitza, there is also a prohibition midrabanon, since chalitza is considered to be like a regular divorce midrabanon. But ochiv, she is also forbidden to marry the Yovam's brother. So if it's his brother on the father's side, then it's forbidden because it's forbidden to marry any of the Yovamim other than in the mitzvah of Yibum. She is their brother's wife. So if she's already performed chalitza, then there is no longer a mitzvah of Yibum, and that prohibition of marrying one's brother's wife returns. And as well as that, if it is the Yovam's brother on his mother's side, so he was never a Yovam, however, that is forbidden because we view chalitza like a regular divorce, and it is forbidden to marry one's brother's divorcee. Over Benochiv, and it's also forbidden for her to marry her brother's son, because towards him she is his father's brother's divorcee. And if it's one's father's brother's divorcee on his father's side, his father's paternal brother, so then it's a prohibition mid'oraisa. And if it's his father's brother on the mother's side's divorcee, then it is forbidden mid'rabbonon to marry her. But in either case, when it comes to chalutza, a prohibition mid'rabbonon exists, since we view her exactly like a divorcee mid'rabbonon. Alright, now the last part of this Mishnah requires the use of a diagram. So if you look, there is a diagram for Perek Dalad Mishnah Zayin. And the Mishnah tells us that Mutar Odom Krivas Tzeras Chalutzosoy, a man is permitted to marry the relative. Our example is going to include a sister. So it is permitted to marry the sister of one's Chalutzos Tzora. So let's say the man who died left behind two wives, and you perform Chalitza on one of them. You are allowed to marry the relatives of the other woman who you do not perform chalitza on. And that makes sense because, as we have seen, midrabbonon, it is forbidden to marry the relatives of the chalutza herself, because we look at that as a divorce. But they did not include in that decree the other wives of the man who had died. So that is certainly permitted. However, says the Mishnah, the osur, it is forbidden to marry betzoras krivas chalutzosai, the tzora of one's chalutzos relative. So in this case, it could be that the man who died only had one wife, and you performed chalitza with her, and that woman, the chalutza, has a sister. And the man who is married to her sister is also married to another woman, so it would be forbidden for the man who performed chalitza to marry that other woman. So if you look at the diagram, you've got Reuven and Shimon. Shimon died, and Reuven performed chalitza with Shimon's wife, Leah. Now there's another man who is not related at all. He is called Moshe. And Moshe has two wives. One is Rochel, who happens to be the sister of Leah. And he has another wife, Chana, who is not related. So Chana is the tzora of Rachel. She's married to the same man as Rachel is married to. And Rachel is the relative of Reuven's chalutza, Leah. So that makes Chana Reuven's tzoras k'rebas chalutzasai, the tzora of his chalutza's relative. And the reason why that is forbidden is midrabanan. And although there are two very different ways to learn this part of the Mishnah, we are going to explain it in one of the ways given. And that is as follows. Chalitza is done in the Beis Din. Now, if a woman goes to Beis Din, she would generally bring along a relative of hers to accompany her. And so we're concerned that Leah, when performing Chalitza with Reuven, she's going to bring Rachel with to Beis Din. Now, those who are at Beis Din when the Chalitza takes place could very easily make the mistake of thinking that it wasn't Leah who did Chalitza, but it was Rachel who did Chalitza. They're sisters, they might look alike, and they'll end up thinking that Rachel was the one who performed Chalitza. Which means that if Reuven then goes and marries Rachel's tzora, who in the example we gave is Chana, so it will appear to be that he is marrying the tzora of his chalutza. And it's forbidden midoraisa to marry the tzora of his chalutza. If a man dies with a number of wives, so after a Yovam has done Yibam or Chalitza to one wife, it is now forbidden to marry any of the other wives, because the regular Aveira of marrying one's brother's wife returns. And because it will appear like Reuven is marrying his Chalutza's Tzora, it is forbidden Midrabanan to marry the Tzora of his Chalutza's sister as well.